done. Hallelujah. Lord be with us. Bless the Lord. Bless his holy, holy name. God will serve, will be served by anybody. God will love anybody, even a hillbilly, even a northerner. And even everybody else. If God can love all people, he can love you too. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 6. We're going to start there because we've got to look back at something. But we're talking about on Wednesdays the major events and people of the Bible. And we've been in the New Testament. And we're talking about the ministry of Philip. Just got to spend a few minutes on this real quick just to summarize a few things. The ministry of Philip. And his life is really in Acts chapter 8 in several verses there. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 6 to start to see him and what he was involved in. So his life teaches us that God considers each person important in the work of God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. God uses individuals in the work of God. And so every individual is important to God in the process of his plan. And so we all have a purpose. As a child of God, we all have a plan that God's given us. He wants us all to fulfill that plan that we can go home one day. So Acts chapter 6 tells us about Philip's ministry in Jerusalem. Verse number 1 says, "In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And so, and he goes down a little bit. We see that Philip, in verse number 5, was one of those that says here in the saying, "Please the whole multitude," and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and Holy Ghost, talked about that last week, and Philip, and some other guys there that made up the 7. And so Philip was part of this group. We talked about Stephen and his short life last week and how he was able to fulfill his plan that God had for him, being a martyr for God that thousands may be saved. And many people through Paul would be saved because of what happened with Stephen. But now we see Philip's life. We don't know exactly how old he was, what he's going on, but we just have a little bit snippets of his life and what he was involved in. What we do know is even when you're ministering to the widows and you're serving tables, you should still be full of faith in the Holy Ghost. You should still have the power of God on your life, even if you're cleaning the bathrooms, because God wants you full of the Holy Ghost and faithful to whatever he's called you to do. Doesn't matter what it is. And so Philip's in that ministry, and we know, first of all, he's one of the first deacons of the church. That's what he does. He meets the qualifications. He's there to resolve the problems. He's there to release the pastor and those elders off the work that needed to be done so they could concentrate on the word of God. That's the way it needs to be. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And sometimes some churches, not this one, we got some great workers here, but some churches that just assume that they just show up, they get fed from the man of God, they go home, and they don't have to do anything else. It's all up to the man of God to take care of everything around the house of God because it's his house. No, it's your house. And God wants us all to be full of faith and of the Holy Ghost so we can minister unto the church and to the people. So we see him ministering here in Jerusalem. Now, we know what was going on at that time. Thousands of people were getting saved. The church was huge. Everything was going great. Now they're having more problems because some people were getting neglected and so forth, and no one knew really what to do about it. So they put these 7 guys in charge here to take care of that ministry and that work. So then when you go over to Acts chapter 8, then you see a few more verses about the ministry that Philip had in Samaria. So he was in Jerusalem, and then God switched him to Samaria. So Acts chapter 8, verse 5 through 8 says, "And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was a great joy in that city." And so we see that God directs Philip to Samaria. He preaches Christ to them. He performs some miracles for them. And the people are in agreement. They're getting saved. And verse number 12 says, "And but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." So God moved him into that area of ministry. Now, he had it good in Jerusalem. There's no reason for him to leave. But then God directs and brings him to Samaria for a purpose, to reach all these people. And thousands of people were reached, and they're getting saved, and they're getting baptized, they're adding to the church in Samaria, and things were going great. But that wasn't it. God still had another purpose for Philip. Now he brings them to the desert in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. We're not going to read all those. We'll just start with the first verse, and it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." That's why it's important for you to listen to God, because when God speaks, you ought to listen, and you ought to know his voice. And he says here, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." And then verse 29 says, "And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." So here we see again, Philip was being used in Jerusalem. Then God brings him to Samaria, and he preaches, and there's all kind of people getting saved down there. And if it was us, we say, "Woo, everything's going great. Let's keep going. Let's keep going." No, God speaks to him and says, "Look, I got one man that I want you to reach." And he's probably thinking, "Wait a minute, what about all these thousands that just got baptized, and we're starting a church here? We got a good bus ministry going on, and we got all kind of programs going on. It's not time for me to leave." But God spoke to him twice and told him, "Get up, arise, and go down there." And when he got down there, he gives him more specific instructions. He says, "Now I want you to talk to that man right there in that chariot, going down the road, reading Isaiah." So God gets real specific, as long as you're willing to follow him the first time. And he gives some general instructions, and then he gets more specific instructions later. Some people get so caught up in what God said. I don't know what God wants me to do. Yeah, you do know. You just don't want to do what he wants you to do. You want to do what you want to do. And then you finally start figuring out, and you start, but you want more details. "Lord, I'd be glad to go, but how are you going to take care of this? How are you going to do this? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? What's about my future?" And you got all these questions, and you don't see Philip asking one question to the angel of the Lord. He just does exactly what he's told to do. And so now God brings him to a desert place. He's still filled with the Holy Ghost. That was verses 26 and 27. He left a fruitful ministry to follow God, which is exactly what we should be doing. God was concerned about the multitudes, but he was also concerned about that one man. God had a plan for that one man. God knew that that one man's heart was ready to receive Christ, and God brought a servant over there that would be willing to tell him and available to tell him about Jesus so he'll get saved. And it doesn't tell us what happened, but I guarantee you, if this guy was high authority with the queen of Candace in Ethiopia, that he went back down there and told all the people about Jesus and what happened to him. I guarantee you. God cares about even the one person as well as the multitude. God knew the eunuch's heart, and he uses this man that's ready to go. You see, Philip was ready. Even though he was busy about the Lord's work, he was still listening and ready to go, whatever God wanted him to do. And that's how we need to be. God's concerned about the multitudes and also one man, but also God's word is always used. When he goes to talk to this man, he's reading Isaiah. He doesn't understand what's going on. And Philip, it says in verse 30, he talks to him. He heard about the prophet Isaiah and saying, "Understand thou what thou readest." And he says, "How can I except somebody tells me?" And he says, he puts his place where he's at in the scriptures. And a eunuch answered Philip while he's explaining the information to him. And he says in verse 34, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of the other man?" Of some other man. And Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Christ. God wants us to always use the scriptures when we're telling people about Jesus. Don't rely on your own words. If you're not exactly sure what to say, just start quoting scripture. Philip knew what he was reading, understood what he was reading, and explained it to him using the scriptures. God always uses his scriptures, whether it's preaching to the multitude or just teaching one person. He wants his word being used. Now, those miracle powers were present that Philip had, just like we talked about earlier, that was in the apostles and Stephen and so forth. But they were they're present at this time only so that people would listen to what they had to say and receive the word of God. And so Philip was one of these people who had that ability, that had that gift to be able to do that. But even when it came to the point of reaching somebody, he turned to the scriptures and explained from the scriptures Jesus Christ and that he needed to be saved. He didn't have to perform some miracle before this eunuch to make him understand and believe. He just explained the scriptures. And that's what God wants us to do. It doesn't take some special gift. Just explain the scriptures to somebody who's willing to listen. And that was the big difference there too. This eunuch was willing to listen. He wanted to understand what he was reading. Most of the time you'll find people you're talking to, they don't even want to read the word of God, much less believe the word of God, and don't care whether they understand it or not. But every now and then, God will bring you to somebody and say, go speak to that person. And we can either go or we'll say, but mama. And we'll make up all kinds of excuses of why we can't go talk to him. And God says, just to talk to him. He's ready. And sometimes God doesn't put me in those situations all the time. But I've been in a few where God would you'll just meet with somebody. You just start sharing a few verses of the word, and they're ready to get saved. Oh, no, I've been ready for this for all my life. I said, hallelujah. I wish everybody was like this. Usually it's the wrong way. I'm on the other side. I'm just sowing seed and, you know, just hoping that somebody's going to get something out of it. But God every now and then brings that to you just to give you some joy to seeing that a person get saved. And that's what happened in Philip's life. But it didn't end there. Philip still was being used of God. Acts 21, turn with it real quick and we'll be done. Acts 21, we see again Philip mentioned. God wasn't through with him. We don't know what happened. We know that after he was done there, God took him out by the Spirit and took him out and placed him in another area. He began to minister again. But chapter 21, verse 8 and 9, it says, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea and into a house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. So now we see a little bit more glimpse into Philip's life. He was used of God in Jerusalem. He was used of God in Samaria. He was using God by God in the desert. And now we see he's in Caesarea. And he's got his family with him. He's now considered an evangelist. That's just, again, someone who's proclaiming God's truth. And he's, as far as we know, he was the first evangelist, first one mentioned in scriptures. And some people believe he was also maybe the first missionary because he went to the eunuch sent by God. And so basically that qualifies what a missionary is. He had authority of the church he was in, sent by God to talk to somebody about Jesus. That's a missionary. And so he went, and now we see his family, his daughters here. What it mentions here is that they had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Just means that they were sold out to God. We look at 1 Corinthians, talks about, we mentioned this in our Sunday school class, and those of you aren't here missing a blessing because you got some other place to go. But anyway, those who are here have a good blessing. And we've been talking about, you know, marriage and Bible application, the home and everything. And we talk about there in 1 Corinthians that it says, you know, that not everybody will marry. And he says that some of them he wished was more like him that wasn't married to be able to focus on the Lord. And so here we see the same thing with Philip's family. He has four daughters, and typically, you know, they would be thinking about, you know, I got to get out of the house and get married. But they wanted to stay home. They wanted to be involved with their dad and their mission and the work that he was doing there. And it says, which did prophesy, which means they had the gift of God, a prophecy on there at that time. They had that gift. And they was using their gift for the edification of the church, to be involved in God and be close to God just like their dad was. And so that's what that means, that he had a ministry even in his own family. He was ministering, and it wasn't that they didn't understand. They understood exactly what daddy was doing, and they wanted a big part of it. And they were involved, and they were being blessed by it. So Philip We don't know how long he lived or what happened in his life, but we know this. He was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, just like Stephen. He was not martyred, but God used him in a mighty way to reach hundreds and thousands of people, and even one person when God wanted it that way. That's the way it's going to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you would, please, for a few minutes, and let's pray for those things that are on our list, and we'll be dismissed.